This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Ooh. I should have said it. I only mock draft with Forklift Simulator music, but
we're down to the nitty gritty now.
We're not. It's business. It's also the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer and Zach Jones here with you. Hour number two. Sal Capaccio coming up in about a half hour with us. But more importantly, it's time to do the dual mock draft.
Yeah, we had to move seats because we're doing it on one computer.
If we had cameras, this would look hilarious right now.
This would look good. Actually, we were able to make it work last Friday with Nate and Joe in here, and then Mike was sitting right next to him in your spot. Yeah. We were able to make it work. It looked good.
But there was someone also sitting there in the other seat, probably.
Yeah, but you would get this camera right here. I'd get the one in the corner.
Yeah.
And then
the wide shot would get all of us.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the fact that there is no one sitting in the
That's
other
fine.
Primary mic.
That's fine.
You have moved locations.
Turn the mic off, or turn the camera off. We're good.
To be next to me.
Yeah.
So we could do this and run it on the same machine.
All right, let's go. I'm ready.
All right, so do we do a rock, paper, scissors for who starts it and who gets, or do you want it, who starts it and gets the odd numbers, or even, and then they get the Bills? Do you have a preference, or am I fighting you for it?
No, I have no preference.
All right, I didn't get to pick the Bills last time.
Cool.
Because Joe Callie and I did this on Saturday.
Okay.
And I started the draft. Now you have that responsibility with the Tennessee Titans at number one.
Sounds good. Cam Ward.
All right, the easy one is easy. We're done here. Cam Ward going number one overall. Let's keep things simple. Even though it's the Browns and I have an idea, like there's a non-zero chance they screw this up.
Mm-hmm.
Screwing up means not taking Travis Hunter.
I agree.
By the way.
I agree.
I don't think they'll screw this up, or at least I'm not if I'm Andrew Berry. I take Travis Hunter.
As a fan, it's maybe my least favorite outcome. But if you're the Browns, just take the most talented player.
But also at the same time, he ends up in with the Giants, and is it that much better right now?
No, but in my head, the Giants can easily be forced onto primetime where you'll see Hunter. Cleveland, when they're bad,
yes, but
you
also
could very quickly take them off of primetime. And I don't want to like just miss out on Travis Hunter being great for like 2-3 years because they're bad.
Aesthetically, the Giants uniforms also kind of stink.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I do like their throwback uniforms.
Where they have like the old font?
Yeah, I like those a lot.
Yeah, the problem is that that's not their primary.
That's right.
So
yeah, the new ones I don't love that much.
No, they're actually bad.
Mm-hmm.
So their current logo.
On to the Giants now at three. I would like Hunter here, as I've said. I'll go with Abdul Carter. That does seem to be the report that they're leaning that way. Best edge rusher in the class. If his injuries are not as bad as it appears, it'd be a great pickup for them.
Yeah, and we've said it already. We said it in the first segment. This is going to go chalk.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be a hypocrite if we didn't do that to start out. Number four, Patriots, Will Campbell, offensive tackle out of LSU.
And as we talked, then Jacksonville takes the other guy that's available. That's Mason Graham out of Michigan, sort of the Batman to Kenneth Grant's Robin. Although, like didn't that. Have a – I didn't know this either until I heard Mike Dempsey on earlier today with Jeremy and Joe. Hasn't had a sack since October. So he went a while in the college season without a sack. I mean, I think he's still a really good player.
Yep.
I think a bit of short arms, you know, that you don't love for a defensive tackle, but a very, very good prospect.
All right, so number six is where we said that things are going to start getting a little spicy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still taking Ashton Jeanty.
Okay.
Because when it comes down to it, where the Raiders pick in the second round, a corner will be available. And yes, running back would too, but the cliff between them is a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
From Jeanty to whoever would be available for them early in round two.
Yeah.
Versus what Will Johnson would be compared to, say, like a Siobhan Revelle or a Benjamin Morrison available there.
Right. I will go with the Jets. Armand Membo, I believe is how you say his name, out of Missouri. He's the tackle.
Yeah, Membo's pretty much the heavy favorite to go there unless the Raiders take him first.
I think if the Raiders take him first or if there's a I could see Aaron Glenn maybe wanting to build through the trenches. I like the defensive line already, though. I think maybe adding a Jalen Walker wouldn't really make a ton of sense there, and that's where let's build up the old line, worry about quarterback next year, or even see what you can get out of Justin Fields this year.
Welcome to the true fascination of the draft. It's pick eight. It's Carolina. If New Orleans has whispers of wanting to take Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart, now would be the time for a trade. However, Carolina also is interesting in a way because there are so many different ways that they can go about this. I, for one, am going to have them taking Will Johnson. I think that there's an opportunity to take someone who would be the best player available on many boards. Do it. So Will Johnson, Carolina at eight.
See, and that would be the pick I'd go with New Orleans here. Mm-hmm. I would go Will Johnson. Now it kind of becomes interesting. I'm choosing to believe they're not going to go for Shedeur Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go with who I think is maybe the best defensive player left on the board. And I mentioned him maybe for the Jets if they really wanted to. And I don't think it makes sense. But Jalen Walker here for New Orleans. Just add talent. Try to get better there.
Interesting. Because I'm thinking of the fact that like maybe they want to reset their core and they might trade Chris Olave and Tet McMillan is available there. I would think that is also a good option.
I think if they take Tet McMillan, I think Olave's already been traded.
Okay.
So I think that's the thing is if we go into draft day, which it doesn't have to be during the draft these trades happen. We've had them happen, you know, a few hours beforehand would happen. If that happens, I'd absolutely take Tet there and move on. But for this, I'm assuming Olave's still on the team and they just want to get the best talent available. I really like Walker.
All right, so when it comes to it, the Bears, I'm punching air because I would have loved to have Jalen Walker.
Yeah,
there.
He is a player I think the Bears are quietly, desperately hoping is there.
Yes, and instead we can pivot to offensive line. Kelvin Banks from Texas at number 10 there. And now on to 11, it's San Fran.
San Fran is interesting.
There are a lot of ways that they can go.
I'm looking at a guy like Shamar Stewart. Mike Green, maybe. He's weird. I thought I saw a report. He hasn't had a top 30 visit at all in this process. I don't know if that's true.
Green,
yeah. I don't know
I feel
if that's
like
true.
That can't be right.
But it has quieted down since the combine for him. Shamar Stewart might be a perfect guy, though, for the 49ers who can develop him, get the most out of those athletic traits. His athletic traits are a top 10 pick. His production at A&M is not.
I was
going to
say his production is a real concern there. So is it Stewart, though, at 11? Or are you still weighing your options?
I'll go Stewart.
All right. So San Fran taking Shamar Stewart there. Dallas, this is where things can get kind of spicy.
I know where I'd go if I were them.
Where would you go?
McMillan.
That makes sense.
I'd go McMillan. If Jeanty was there, I think they would go Jeanty.
Yes.
With McMillan there and him being, I mean, the next offensive player to go, I like that idea.
Yeah, and it makes too much sense that McMillan could be one of the picks here. I'm going to go ahead and make things more interesting. I'm taking Mykel Williams out of Georgia.
Okay.
Edge rusher still allows you a little bit of like Micah Parsons insurance in case they don't sign him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I'm up with the Dolphins. I heard Greg Cosell talking, I want to say 2 days ago on the Ross Tucker podcast, talking about Nick Emmanuel, thinking him of as a Holland replacement. I'm going to go with, I would argue, the safer pick at safety with Malachi Starks.
All right, so you're saying that they're taking a safety at 13?
I think they are going to take a safety, and I'm going the safer option there for them. I love Emmanuel's physical traits, but I think there's a reason why he might be available in the 20s. With those kind of physical traits,
right?
There's some great tape on him. There's also some really, really bad tape.
Okay.
And I think if you're Miami, take the quote-unquote safer option. You've got to build that defense out. It's not a bad idea to go to the SEC.
So now we're at pick 14. Some names that are already projected to have gone sooner are not. Tap McMillan being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Shedeur Sanders is going to start to fall. That's going to cause some intrigue in this as well. I'm going to have the Colts taking Tyler Warren.
Yeah, that's where I would have gone to.
Yeah,
that's where
it makes too much sense. That's one of their big needs.
I like Loveland better. I think maybe NFL teams like Warren more.
Yeah. All right, so Atlanta, 15, Zach.
Atlanta. Oh, boy. Where do they go?
A lot of options.
I like what London's become. They still have Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson. Tet probably doesn't make a lot of sense here. And they are bad in terms of pass rush.
Yes.
I think this is a team sort of in that same vein of Chicago desperately wanting Jalen Walker there. I think Atlanta seeing Mike Green on the board. This might
run
be
the card. Yeah, the
this might be the first pick of the draft for everyone. Like they come up on, immediately on like the screen, and immediately after pick is in.
2 minutes later, and it's literally because pick they needed to take 2 minutes to write it on the card
and then call people. Yeah, yep. I think Mike Green out of Marshall's is where they're going to go there.
All right, Arizona at 16. A lot of players falling that could be interesting here, like Tet McMillan, for example. There, I think that fall for McMillan continues a little unexpectedly here, because I'm going to have the Cardinals taking Derek Harmon out of Oregon, defensive tackle.
Okay.
So, for those that like a big player, a defensive tackle, there are whispers that Harmon's stock is falling because of injury concerns or health concerns. Again, you don't always have to believe everything that is said at this time of year. But yes, I'm going to say, if you wanted defensive tackles, the first one's off the board for the Bills that you would have liked to be able to acquire.
I'm going to go another one for the Bengals. I'm more just thinking best defensive player available. You know, you look at a guy like a Jahdae Barron, stuff like that. I'll go with maybe the highest upside at the position available right now. I don't want to say maybe highest upside. I like him better for the Bengals than I would say for the Bills, and that's Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle at Ole Miss. A little bit smaller. I see it from everybody. His main comparison is Ed Oliver, and I don't think that's good for the Bills. That's why I've basically never talked about Walter Nolan.
He's kind of why I've written him off, too.
Yep. But I think Cincinnati, you need to get better on defense. You fired a defensive coordinator. You're a disaster there. Get better on the line, and that can maybe kind of branch out. But I think they're going to go defense a lot in the draft.
Yes. And Josh, don't forget, morning show segment, Derek wants fat guys from Thursday. So, Walter Nolan kind of off my list because there's not a three in that 100.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the 200s. It's close, but it's not in the 300s.
An unbelievable athlete, but it's tough with the fit for the Bills.
Exactly. It's a fit thing, less than or more so than anything else. Tet McMillan has fallen to the Seahawks at 18, and here comes 100%. Another sprint to the podium.
100%. Yep. They got to replace DK Metcalf. I like Tet McMillan. He's not the receiver I will ever kind of root for. I don't love the 6'5 lengthy guys. He's a bit faster than I would have assumed.
Yes.
But usually I like receivers that are in the Diggs mold. Or like Malik Nabers, where the tallest are going to be is like 6'2. You know, that's usually what I like. I'm more tactician route runners.
All right. So, pick 19, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay, so who are you picking on defense? Because what do the Buccaneers really need on the offensive side of the ball?
That's what I'm thinking. I don't know their lineup intimately, so I don't want to take a player that they necessarily really don't need.
Here's the good news. Any defensive player, it's a good pick.
I'm going to go Jahdae Barron out of Texas. There's maybe some fears for him that he really can only be a slot corner.
But he would also be one of the best to do it.
Yeah, I love him as a prospect. He was amazing at Texas last year, a little bit older, but I think it works for him.
All right, so the Broncos sitting here at pick 20. Matthew Golden is available. Colson Loveland is here.
Personally, I know this is not my pick. I'd go Loveland. I think I'd go Loveland.
Oh, you know what I'm going to do? Because I'm part of the even teams. Yep. I'm calling myself.
Are you going to do the Rams trade?
I'm going to do the Rams trade. I called it shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
But for the sake of it,
it's really rude.
I'm having fun with this.
Look, I mean, ultimately, you know, the big talking point for this draft up to this point, or the last 2 weeks, I guess, would be that everyone is staying at their pick. No one is doing the pre-draft trades. Nobody. So I do wonder if we'd keep waiting, especially how our board has fallen. I think a lot of teams would maybe just be sitting there, maybe frustrated that a player went before them.
So six picks up the first round, I'm going to imagine it's going to cost 85.
Yeah.
Or not 85, pick 90 for the Rams.
Oh, okay.
So that means the Rams don't pick until 101.
Ooh.
So I'm hanging up the phone.
Yeah. So Denver, I think then you take Loveland. I mean, you number one, I think that's...
I'm taking Loveland, absolutely. Yeah.
Ultimately, Denver needs to get more playmakers on offense. Yes, it's not a bad idea for them.
Also, to remind you that at this point, trades are going to be possibilities.
Yep.
But here's Pittsburgh at 21, and I know you're not picking up any phones right now.
No, Pittsburgh, I think this is another one of those, thank goodness he fell, Shador Sanders. They need a quarterback. I think they've absolutely moved off of... the Aaron Rodgers train. His interview with Pat McAfee did not fill me with a ton of confidence. If I'm a Steelers fan, that's going to happen anytime soon. Get this done. You know, maybe he competes with Mason Rudolph. Maybe he plays early. You have two really good receivers around him. Maybe not, you know, a young offensive line. I don't want to say a good one, but a young one that you can maybe build something around this. But you need to get better quarterback. Your division is loaded at the position.
Yes.
Not Cleveland. But still, when you have Burrow and Lamar there, it's loaded.
Yeah, there's already a problem with half the teams there.
I think it's an easy pick for the Chargers as well.
Yeah, Matthew Golden is available. Wide receiver is something that the Chargers could use a little bit more firepower in.
Love Ladd McConkey for him last year. And you know what? Honestly, I think Golden maybe fits the Chargers perfectly. I don't really see him as number one in the NFL. I like what he does. I don't see him as number one. But Ladd has kind of shown he might be a one for them.
The guy.
You add Najee Harris in there. Herbert's good. It's the year two of Harbaugh. Then you throw Matthew Golden in there. It's not a bad offense to get behind.
I mean, that said, I might have doubts now after I made the pick because it's a Greg Roman offense.
Yeah, but...
But it
still needs to happen.
Packers, 23.
Ooh, Packers, 23.
There's a couple of ways they can go, and they might be a team that might take one of these big boys as well.
They might be. Who do you got available on the board for some of these big guys? I mean, James Pierce, does the fall continue for him? Not, you know, I don't see Kenneth Grant going yet. That's my thing, is I don't really have a good read on where Grant could go.
Right.
Because it's been so up and down. Do they take a pass rusher, the guy at Boston College whose last name I cannot pronounce?
Isaraku. Or at least that's the best stab I'm giving at it.
He's got a lot of potential. I think he's ACC Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah, we'll go there. Yeah, Isaraku.
Donovan Isaraku from Boston College going to the Pack at 23. Number 24.
I can totally see the Minnesota Vikings wanting to trade back.
This is also not just a trade back, but this is also where my heart breaks. Nick Emmanuel.
Maybe the best defensive player on the board. Maybe the best potential of any player left that could go in the first round would
be
Emmanuel.
And if there's a team that could take a player like that, it would right now be Minnesota with their sound roster structure.
Yeah, it's sound roster structure. They're getting a lot out of that defense with Flores last year. And that's the thing, too. They're getting a lot of the defense that maybe didn't have a ton of named guys. It was a lot of, you know, that maybe similar to a Buffalo Bills defense of the past few years. Not a ton of names, but great production. You add just a quote-unquote blue-chip kind of player. It's not bad.
All right, so Houston, 25.
They need offensive line help, and I'm going to go with the guy at North Dakota State. I think Greg Zabel.
Gray Zabel, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go him. I like also the idea of a Josh Simmons. He's not going to play this year, it feels like.
Okay.
And Houston needs help now. And he's a big boy at North Dakota State. It's never a bad idea.
The Rams, I might see as a team that might want to trade back as well because they only have those two picks.
They don't have a lot.
They have 26 and 90.
They do not have a lot.
So maybe this is an opportunity to add a third rounder.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, who's calling?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's calling right now because if you're a team like Cleveland who maybe wants to take Dart or what have you, there's no one really in front of you that you're worried about necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you're New York, for example, maybe you're thinking about it.
Maybe you're thinking about it, but if I'm the Browns, you didn't take Shador early. Am I really that worried you're going to jump up to take Dart?
Hang on.
You had your shot and you didn't take it.
Hang on. I have the way it's going to work. Are you ready? So the Giants are going to make this trade. They are 34. They're an even team, so I do have the rights. So in order to get 26, I'm going to throw 99 at them. And it's probably going to be enough.
Okay.
Maybe I'll add in like 154 for like a nice little pick swap. I'll drop to 190.
Okay.
And the reason I'm doing this is I managed to reject my own proposal. So it's going to cost more. But I like this. I like that it's going to cost more. Let's get spicy.
This would feel like a move, though. Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are attempting to save their jobs. We need a young quarterback. You need something there that can maybe convince ownership. Yeah. Hey, so, give us more than 1 year. My problem is it would feel like the Bears.
I would love to override this.
Rams are staying?
I would love to override it, but it's not working.
Yeah, Rams are staying.
Rams seem like they're staying, and apparently we're staying. Why are they staying, though, is the question. I'm going to guess Jahad Campbell.
Okay.
But I would think this is perfect for the Giants to move up with.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is, you're going to get in front of teams that might be more willing to trade back.
Yeah.
And also, the Rams, they could take their time.
Yep.
If they wanted to.
Baltimore. Ooh, where do they go here? I'm going to go, they take best player available and hope their culture helps them. James Pierce.
Oh, edge rusher out of Tennessee.
Just best player available. I think the best traits you could get right here. And you just let it fly.
So, for those keeping tabs at home, or if you're not, don't worry. I've got you here. Some of the defensive players that are available, Kenneth Grant, Trey Amos, Siobhan Revell, Maxwell Hairston, being plenty of players that you can look at on the defensive side of the football. Amika Egbuka of Ohio State is still hanging around, actually.
It's the same, though, I would go with New Orleans, the idea of, you know, I'm assuming Chris Olave is still on their team until he's not. I'm assuming Jameson Williams is still on their team until he's not.
Yep.
I think they would just go defense purely off of they saw what happened to their year last year when they didn't have anybody left.
Yes.
And I could see them going there. Cornerback, I think, is absolutely a potential
need
for them.
And I am going to upset a lot of Bills fans right now with Trey Amos being the pick to Detroit at 28. So here we are, pick 29. With the Washington Commanders right before the Bills at 30.
I think Washington's going defense as well. I really like where their offense is at. They add Debo Samuel as well. Really, the question is, who do they take?
I'm starting to think this is where a run on corners might begin.
I think a run on corners could go here. They also could add on the defensive line. They are completely rebuilding that from a few years ago, although I don't really think they need defensive tackle help necessarily.
No, they don't
because
really.
That's a big reason why they were going to get it wasn't Payne. Who went on the quote-unquote trade block for them? Blanking on his name. Regardless, it's not defensive tackle. I'd maybe go cornerback here.
The question is who? Is it Hairston?
I personally like Hairston more at this spot.
All right, so then that leaves me at pick 30 with the Bills. What do we have available? We have a couple edge rushers like Nick Scorton or Landon Jackson. Kenneth Grant at defensive tackle, Tyreek Williams, Darius Alexander.
You know where I'm going.
I know where you're going, but I'm the one that has the Bills control here, mister. And at safety, I don't love what I've got there.
Nope.
Azaray Thomas is also available as a cornerback available in this area. And it just becomes a matter of what flavor do I go with here? But also, Egbuka is available from Ohio State. At wide receiver.
I don't love Emeka Egbuka. A lot of it is his production at Ohio State, and he kind of comes off as more he would be a slot guy. This is an interesting case study, though, where there was a run on corners.
Because it's Egbuka or Burden.
And that's the thing, is there was a run on corners, but now it's Kenneth Grant, Luther Burden. Do you want to force the corner pick? There's a lot of options they could go. I think trading back is not...
You know what? Let's fulfill the prophecy, because we got to get going. We'll take Kenneth Grant.
All right.
We'll take Kenneth Grant.
Hell yeah,
how
baby.
It started with the beef wagon ends with the beef wagon.
I'd be thrilled with this pick. I really would.
Kansas City.
Offensive lineman, whoever. Whoever's the best offensive lineman
available.
Problem is Josh
Simmons or Tyler Booker, probably your guys. Booker should be a top 20 pick, but his position is guard.
Yeah. So do they go Josh Simmons and hope that they can just survive?
I think they're going to go with Booker.
Okay. And try to just work around it.
Even though you're supposed to be the one making the
pick. No, but
we got to go because we got to get to Sal Capaccio. Yep. And Eagles, you know what? We'll give him an edge rusher, Nick Scorton. Make it all happen.
How he's done it again.
All right. So, by the way, on Thursday night, as we're mocking this, you could be heading out to Resurgence Brewing with Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase for the Ultimate Draft Night Party on Thursday, April 24th at 7 p.m. Tickets are $45. They include pizza, all you can drink beer and well drinks as well. Enjoy live analysis, huge TVs, crystal clear sound, so you don't miss a pick. Maybe even hear from us at the station with the broadcast. Plus, there's local vendors there, including Paula's Donuts, giveaways all night, including an all-inclusive fantasy football party for 12 at Resurgence Brewing, courtesy of Resurgence. For the giveaways, there's no purchase necessary. But if you want tickets to the draft party, get them at resurgencebrewing.com.
All right, we're going to take a quick time out here. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show right here on WGR. Get ready for a draft night, day number 2 on April 25th at Wayland Brewing Company in Orchard Park, and join us at the Ultimate Draft Party from 7 to 10 p.m. hosted by Jeremy and Joe. Test your knowledge with 5 rounds of trivia for awesome prizes, courtesy of Wayland, plus a special themed menu. Don't miss this party. Visit WGR550.com for details. We are 2 days away from the start of the NFL draft on Thursday over in Green Bay, but the Bills aren't just worried about the draft. They've also got phase one of their offseason program underway. And with that, we do join Sal Capaccio. As not only that, we're going to hear from some people as well, too. So, Sal, good morning. How are we doing?
Pretty good, guys. Good morning to you as well. Yeah, down here in the media room at One Bills Drive. And we will hear from Josh Allen at 12:30 p.m. today on phase one of off-season workouts, his off-season. Obviously, Josh, we know he got engaged last year. I think he expected to be married this off-season. Might come up, but either way, we'll talk about the off-season and obviously the Bills returning. And then Brandon Bean is scheduled to speak with us here at 2 p.m., and that will be more focused on, obviously, the draft. That's his pre-draft press conference leading up till Thursday night and the first round here, where I'll be again for the Buffalo Bills draft.
I need Josh Allen's review of Sinners, his fiance's new movie that just came out. Great things. I'm going tonight. I need his review.
You're going tonight, huh?
I am going tonight. I'm wrapping up my show, and I'm going at 8:30. I'm pretty excited.
All right. Well, that's interesting. Well, who knows? That could very well come up today. But you know, it's always interesting. I did the math the other day. It was the day they started yesterday. It would have been 85 days from the time that they were last on the field in Kansas City for the AFC Championship game till they started off-season workouts, 85 days. And if you go to another 85 days, you're about a week before training camp. So we're really kind of right now, this week, at the midway point of the off-season, I guess, essentially.
I'm glad you said that, because you're saying 85 days. I'm like, yeah, it really was not that long ago that they were playing a football game and we were all here working it, and now it's the off-season workout program. So it's nice to hear that 85 days from then, it will then be, you know, a few days before training camp. It you know, the off-season's not flying by for any of us, it doesn't at least feel like.
No, I agree. It's, you know, sometimes I guess the days can be long, but, you know, the time itself kind of flies by. We all get into that, and then before you know it, we're talking about OTAs and mini camps. Now, let's remember that's not happening right now. When you say off-season program, just to refresh everybody, it's phase one. Phase one is they can do some dead ball activities, throwing a ball to a quarterback, wide receiver, but they can't actually do normal football stuff. That doesn't happen until really phase two, a little bit more of that, and then phase three, that's when you get more of your actual football plays and OTAs. Mini camp is going to take place from June 10th through June 12th, 3 days of mini camp. So you have a few weeks here of right now, phase one, which is honestly just conditioning. There's no coaches, position coaches, football coaches allowed in the field. It's just strength and conditioning coaches, weight room, rehab, things like that going on right now through this time period. And I know over the years what we've heard from players is it's a lot of competition that goes on, right? Offense against defensive guys or lineman against lineman, where they're doing like different kinds of things and who can, you know, I guess remember when we were in school, we ran the pacer tests and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's exactly that, but you get my point.
Sal Capaccio joining us here on the Western Hotline. As you mentioned, Sal, Brandon Bean speaking at about 2 o'clock here today as well. And I wonder what he's going to talk about, Sal. There's only something going on Thursday night where you've professed, or theorized, I should say, that the Bills should be going defense all three of these picks within their first three selections at 30 and then twice again in the second round. Have you backed down at all from that stance?
No, I still think it's defense, 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 the first three picks. Would it stun me? Could I be wrong? Sure. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and I don't know exactly what their board looks like.
Yep.
If some really excellent wide receiver falls down and he's sitting there at 56, they're like, oh my God, we just got to take him. It's too much value. Sure, that can happen. I think boards change all the, things like that change all the time when you're in the draft room. But to me, I think that the way this roster looks, the way this team is built, is built right now, and what they're staring at, to me, it's defense, 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 and days one and two, And I still think that's probably heavier defensive line, a couple of those maybe, and then a corner. I think you'll get a corner in one of those picks. I don't know if it'll be the first pick. I think I'm leaning more, to me, it's defensive line, probably heavier. Pick one, and then we'll see where it goes. But overall, it's defense for me.
Yeah, Sal, me and Derek, we just did kind of a joint mock draft. We went back and forth between picks.
Fun exercise,
yeah, by the way. I know you did this over the weekend, too. And, you know, very quickly, I mean, there was kind of a sudden run on corners, and it very quickly, Bills at 30, it was like, okay, I'm Kenneth Grant, defensive tackle, and you worry about corner, you know, maybe later on in round two, which is not a bad thing. I mean, guys like Siobhan Revell were still on the board. I though, going into that, I've, Sal, kind of been more on the idea of maybe corner was, quote-unquote, the more desperate need. But, I mean, I've been a Kenneth Grant guy kind of since the Senior Bowl in around that period. I think there's a ton of ways the Bills can go. I know Mike talked about it last week during our draft special where it might be an easy way for the Bills to be, you know, quote-unquote, winners in the draft. But I think the way this draft is set up and what the Bills' needs are, yeah, I think there's only a few scenarios where I think they could screw this up, you know, essentially.
Yeah, listen, I think you could easily look at the roster yourself as a fan, as a media member, and go, you know what, they really still needed a corner opposite Christian Benford. And I don't doubt that. I don't disagree with that. But they did bring back Dane mm-hmm. Jackson. They did bring back Tre'Davious White. I think that raises the floor of the depth, and it allows you at least to maybe not have to rush at that position. Are one of those guys a starter? I'm not sure. Is it a guy who they draft in the first three rounds? Could very well be a guy that they draft and winds up. I mean, Christian Benford started. He's a sixth-round pick, right? So we all know that can happen. But I do think that bringing back guys who know the system, they're familiar with, and they feel comfortable with on their roster kind of points you in the direction of, I don't think that they have to have such desperation to go in that route versus look at defensive tackle, guys. I mean, they play four guys, right? I mean, that's what they do. All four guys can kind of be considered starters when you have guys active on game day at that position. To me, they're all starters because they rotate so much. They only have four on the roster right now, and mm-hmm. one of his name is Zion Loke. I mean, Ogunjobi, too, but he's suspended. So really, only three guys, to me, are lock 53-man players. So that leaves essentially a starting position open at defensive tackle.
And Sal, when I look at this Bills defense, you know, this team has actually really gotten hurt by long-term injuries at a number of star players, Matt Milano, Trey White, of course. But Daquan Jones, when he was on the field and healthy, you saw how good Ed Oliver could be, especially as a pass rusher. Just two seasons ago, 9.5 sacks from the defensive tackle position. And that's why me and Derek have kind of been on this we've called it the beef wagon, just get big guys in the middle of the defense. I want to see what him and Rousseau and, you know, Bosa now maybe kind of coming in a rotation sense because of his health. I just want to know what that defensive line could look like. I think there's a great player in Ed Oliver. He just needs a really good Robin next to him, and I'd love to see what Rousseau looks like if Ed Oliver's able to kind of eat and maybe eat up some more double teams.
I don't disagree with you at all. I agree with that. I think the Bills even agree, which is like they need a guy kind of to help out Ed Oliver to get the most from what his skill set is. Look, I think the Bills like Daquan Jones, but he clearly was not the same player last year as he had been previous to the injury in 2023 in London. And he's going to be, to me, a part of their rotation, but I think they need to upgrade from him and get younger at the same time. And that's why I still point more towards defensive tackle as more likely. I would say, though, I do think edge is still an interesting spot that they mm-hmm. could go. I wouldn't discount it. You know, if they feel like there's a guy that can really get after the passer, I mean, that's obviously very key, especially in the AFC. Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. Think about the players and the teams you face and how important it is to get to the quarterback. I do think that, you know, edge comes into play possibly for something like that. But I agree along the lines of, if you could give me the exact specific type and if I could pick what I think the Bills want, I think it's a more of a anchoring, kind of run stuffing, one technique defensive tackle to kind of be able to play in the middle there. I think that's the dream scenario if a guy high enough on their board is there.
Sal, I'd imagine we've got the Capaccio mock draft coming out on Thursday.
Yes, I always do one.
Do we have a way to?
I was doing it last night, actually. I was actually working on it.
Yep, I have mine ready to submit as well, and I'm like, I wonder what Sal's got. Am I able to tip a pick here?
Well, no, because I'm not down that far yet. Because I really want to do thorough research. I'm actually
like it.
I think my big issue right now is at five. I've gone 10 different times, different ways with Jacksonville because of all the reports coming
out. I love
that. You know what I mean? So I'm sitting there reading all these different people. I'm going to Jacksonville media and fan boards, and what are they looking at? What are they thinking? Well, what are you hearing out of Jacksonville? I think there's such a wild card, as Adam Schefter wrote yesterday on ESPN, which is right. Such a wild card with Jacksonville. Could they go Gentry? Could they go offensive tackle? Could they go Mason Graham? I think that's really kind of the pivot point for how everything else falls.
And it's been fun with them. Fun. It's actually been more frustrating because they're taking the Rams style doing things. They don't do top 30 visits. So you can't even decide
right.
that they're looking at this position a ton. You have no idea. I mean, I think that's kind of why a lot of us have maybe talked receiver more, is because the Bills have brought in a lot of receivers. Now, Demi and Derek, we talked about this. Their quote-unquote draft grades might be, day two, maybe even day three guys, but they've brought a lot in. You can't even do that with Jacksonville. You have no idea.
And the guys, right, the guys that the Bills brought in at wide receiver, I think speaks to and tells you a story that they're interested in adding a wide receiver, but from that group, it's more of a day three position. That's what I've always felt. I'd be stunned if the Bills take a wide receiver in day one or two. I really would. I mean, sure enough, a guy could fall down that far that they love. But I'd be surprised, because to me it's always seemed like they want a guy that specifically fits what they don't have as a skill set, which might be stretching the field or more speed. That doesn't have to be an early guy. That could be a guy that can develop into more of a well-rounded football player, but maybe early on in his career he can help you with different, kind of like a Marquez Stevenson back a few years ago.
Yeah,
remember him?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the kind of comparison I'd give to maybe how you want to look at what they need at wide receiver right now, with a guy that can really burn and really fly, and can he contribute early on as we're trying to get him to be more well-rounded?
That does seem to be a yearly issue for the Bills. Adding speed, adding a downfield burner, it feels like they've had that problem maybe since John Brown started to hit a little bit of the downspin of his career. Sal, last thing for me here before we let you go get set up and ready for what I would assume is going to be a long, busy day at One Bills Drive. Don't have to tip the pick. Doesn't have to be the guy you think is going to go at 30, but do you have a draft crush you'd love to see on the Bills?
Yeah, I think at 30, Derek Harmon is one of those guys. You know what I really like? I like Darian Porter. I like Darian Porter a lot, the cornerback from Iowa State. I think that he would fit a lot of the traits. He's long. He's athletic. I really like him. He reminds me a lot of Tariq Woolen, and I think other people have made that comparison, but I thought so as well. And I actually, that was a guy, Tariq Woolen, I loved when he came out of the draft. I thought he was perfect fit for the Bills. They didn't draft him, and he's turned out to have a really nice career, obviously. It's been a little inconsistent at times. But that's a guy that I really like that I think could fit the Bills for sure.
All right, Sal. Thank you so much, sir. Set up, enjoy the day, and we'll be listening.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. Darian Porter, he's a guy I've thought about a lot in the second round, too. I mean, Hairston has maybe become my favorite idea in the first round if they go corner, the guy out of Kentucky.
Hairston does seem like the top prospect of the second wave of corners.
Yeah.
And I think Porter's going to be available within the second round. I do think if the Bills don't go corner in round one, Porter would be a great trade-up candidate in the second round.
They did bring him on a top 30 visit. They definitely met with him. I can't.
Yes.
I can never get it together if it's they Zoomed meeting with him. They did a private workout. He fully came in. I can't keep it straight. But they definitely met with him.
He's on their radar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. I suspect there might be a good opportunity here, though, for maybe you go ahead and you get to move up in round two. Because that's where your ammunition is really going to work for you, is in round two.
And Sal also brought this up too.
But if you say you get a Kenneth Grant like we chalked it up, that means corner is something you're going to need to go up and get. That means that there's probably Siobhan Revelle or Darian Porter or Benjamin Morrison available in round two. And if you sit there at, I think it's what, 56?
I believe it's 56.
Yep. If you sit there at 56, it's not going to fall your way. You're going to have to go up and get it. And I do think that that's where they're going to do that. They will take 56. They'll take a couple of those fifths, probably have to throw in a fourth, move your way up, and get the corner that you need to finalize how your day one and day two are going to go. You let 62 be 62, and you go from there.
Sal also brought this up, talking about maybe what the Bills' quote-unquote dream need would be or want. One tech, big guy, run stuffer. I wonder how high they are on Tylaik Williams. He's a guy that he's almost definitely will be there at 30.
Williams, like Grant and Darius Alexander for me from Toledo, those are guys that are their fringe 1-2.
Yeah.
Like the fringe first round, early second round. If they don't get taken by, for example, Buffalo, that's how they're going to fall.
Yeah. I when he said that, I was like, ooh, Tylik Williams might be the least sexiest pick the Bills could make.
But it's also a strong one.
But I think he has a higher floor than Kenneth Grant. Maybe not the highest potential, but he would come in and be exactly what I talked about for potentially what could be one of their great players at Oliver in the interior. He could really help them out. I know Ben Solak of ESPN is a big fan of his. 803-0550, the number to call. Going to take a quick timeout here. When we come back, we'll get you ready for Savers Live coming up at noon.
But by the way, we have your ticket to 8 amazing golf experiences with the WGR VIP golf card. For just one low price of $129, unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Bobolink, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card also hooks you up with a free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf because, well, wayward hits happen. But you can also score deals with Rick Zurek Golf Warehouse on Transit in Bowmansville. A portion of your proceeds benefit PGA Hope, and you can get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at getmyperks.com.
Quick final segment here as we wrap up a Tuesday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Today's show, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We mentioned it in hour number one. We got a lot of playoff action tonight. Four games in the NHL. The first one starting at 6, Derek. Devils, Hurricanes.
I do like how they bracketed it. Mm-hmm. I really do. Mm-hmm. We said it earlier. I love how they structured tonight's games. I've got one last thing to say about the draft before Thursday night, and it's this. I am super excited for the bevy of options that are going to happen, not just with the Bills at 30, but even up at the front of the draft. There are plenty of ways that there could be mystique or intrigue, and we are right at the doorstep. Let's get this going. I can't wait for Thursday night.
Got two more days. The draft will start on Thursday. Round one, at least, will start on Thursday, 8 p.m. in Green Bay. Our coverage here on WGR will get going an hour before that at 7 following Shope and the Bulldog.
With yours truly, both of us, and Nate Geary.
And Nate Geary along the way. Well, that'll be it for us. Coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. You're listening to WGR.